What's going on, everybody? You've got the cardboard coach here with your boy, Coach Co. And team, today we've got a very special guest on the podcast. We've got a returning member to the podcast, Mr. Billy Celio. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing good. I love the I love the hockey hat. I wore my coaching sweatshirt, so
You
we're
know,
both trying
we're
to
paying
make each other
homage to
happy
each
here.
other right now.
Yes, exactly.
So for those of you guys who don't know, Billy Celio works for Upper Deck. Many hockey collectors hopefully know you. And if they don't, they definitely know your work. So, you know, from them and me, thank you for what you do.
Very appreciated.
It's funny how we connected initially because I think I was ripping on the 16-bit insert in 2022 23 series one, I think it was.
Yeah, I don't think you liked those at all. I think well, no, you were on the fence. You were on the fence. You're
I
like
was on the fence. I have since come off the fence, and I genuinely just don't like them. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
But there's many other beautiful designs that you are privy to, and then you helped put on a table. So I do want to talk a little bit about Series 1, which is releasing next week if it all goes to schedule. I've seen some of the designs for that. It looks gorgeous. The cup just came out. You guys ran a really cool marketing campaign involving the Lucky 7. I want to get into that. We can talk a little bit about metal that releases this week. There's a lot of fun stuff to chat about today, I think. So I guess we can start off with, how did you feel putting together the 24-25 Series 1 set? Like, I know you normally talk about like having a vision for the set. What kind of vision did you have for this one?
Like you said, usually there's some sort of theming involved. You know, you just don't want a bunch of inserts that are just all over the place. And this one, it has like a, well, because even one of the inserts is called, it has a gaming theme to it. Not that I sit and play video games at home all the time. I actually don't, but you know, I have friends that do and don't have a problem with it. But you know, we've been expanding in our gaming licenses. And, you know, seeing some of the stuff that they do for those cards, I'm like, you know what? There's never really been too many cards that kind of focus on, you know, the game aspect of hockey. When I say game, I mean like video games and stuff like that. Yes, we did like the 16-bit and stuff. And it's just like, well, how can we take this even farther? And there's a lot of like angles. There's a lot of just things that you normally don't see in cards that you see in video games. I remember aging myself, but when I built Full Force, there was an insert called Goal, like really long, and
Yeah.
it had a picture of Tamu, his famous one where he's, you know, shooting the stick, and photography was worried to use that image because it was an image from the back, and you normally don't see images of like the back of players, whereas in video games a lot of times you'll see like they're skating from behind, you know,
Yeah.
they have like the person image, stuff like that, or the, you know, player versus player sort of thing. You never really see like different angles on that. So it was just like, let's do some, let's just, there's like 100 card insert that just deals with gaming type of cards. There's, you know, POV, FOV, PV, PE, like player versus player, field
Yeah.
of view, you know, all these different acronyms that just kind of deal with the gaming stuff. So aimbots is another one that's kind of cool. It like shows a guy shooting, and it's like they have like little percentages of where the, like for scoring, my coordinator's like, thanks a lot. That's a whole bunch of extra work for him to try to put all that stuff on cards. But yeah, there's a big gaming theme, I would say, to this set, which it's different. I don't think it's like so different that people are going to be like, this isn't Series One. It's a nice, fun theme.
I love that. And, you know, sometimes it's all about those key details, right? Like, I know that you're probably making other people's lives more difficult, but I'm sure collectors very much appreciate it, especially when they're like, oh man, like, I can't believe they went through this kind of details, but like percentages on different angles and stuff. Like, I think that really goes to show what you're trying to portray on that card.
I'll sit here and say, I build the outline of the sets, but there's a lot more people involved in that card coming from the idea process to in a pack. You have your coordinators, you have your designers, your color, your photo people, your type people. Like, there's just an array of different people that have to put work into it to get the final product. So I don't have to do all the little, I mean, yes, there's detail to my position too, but all the little things that sometimes get ignored, there's a lot of people that do a lot of work behind those things.
I love that. Let's talk about the Young Guns design. How did you decide to go with this one?
So one thing that we've been fortunate with is we've had a number of designers that have been here for many years, and they kind of know what we're looking for. And sometimes we'll say, oh, hey, kind of switch this up. Like, hey, we've been doing, I don't know how many times we hear, like, we've seen the same blue color on the Young Guns for years. So I think the previous year we kind of had more of a cosmic looking
Yeah,
color
we had
to
like a
it.
purple last year.
Yeah. That goes on our design team. Like, I'll give direction, and they give us many options. I don't know, like, when you hear about other companies deciding, like, what the base card for this year is going to be, it's very similar to Young Guns, where there's a number of people involved, and but it starts with our design team. We give direction, like, hey, I kind of want it to look like this, or kind of want to step away from this and do this. But they're the ones that really do most of the work on that, and then we get to kind of pick and choose. They'll give us at like 3 to 5 different examples, and if we don't like it, like, it'll get scrapped and we'll start over. But for the most part, that's definitely on our design team doing the work.
I will say that so far I've only seen Cutter Gauches, but they look pretty good, man. They look sleek.
Yeah, what's funny is every time I do interviews on a new set, in the back of my mind, I'm already thinking about next year's, because I've already built next year's too. And
What?
it's said and done. Like, I've already seen next year's Young Gun design. I absolutely love it
Really?
too. Oh yeah, it's gorgeous. But this year's, I think, came out really nice also. I think, it's what the consumer is expecting. There's no tool. Like, I remember one year we put two pictures on the
Yeah.
card, which is not like out of the norm to do for a trading card, but people were like, I can't, like, they weren't used to it or something. So, I don't want to say we went back to basics, but we kind of went back to traditional, what we want. And you'll notice the base design and the Young Guns, we still want a large area for photos. Upper Deck is known for, photos. So we give them as much space as possible to really show off that aspect also.
And it looks like you guys have really embraced the new parallels that you adopted last set. Do you, from what you've spoken to in other people in the market, like, or in the hobby, would you say that they went pretty well? Like, 'cause you guys rolled them out kind of all the same time, the outburst,
Yep.
the deluxe,
So,
the red outburst.
we're always worried about too many parallels of Young Guns. And yes, we've increased stuff. We actually decreased, or we got rid of a couple. Like, we got rid of the Clear Cut exclusive. I think there was another one that I think we removed like two, but we added obviously a few more. The Outburst was just something that I wanted. Like, we got our hands on some really cool kind of technology and paper, and I'm like, we got to do something with this. And I'm like, it'd be sweet if we made a parallel with this, and then made like two more versions of it. And but we didn't want it to be a, when I say parallel, we in the card company, like the manufacturers, a parallel is basically the exact same card with maybe a change of color stuff. They're almost like variants, because we knock out the whole back of the card. So you need new plates to print the cards and all sort of stuff. So it's kind of like an outburst. It's technically, everyone will consider it parallel. It's like, we technically call it a variant, just because it's knocked out in the back. So it was a little more acceptable from the higher ups if we did a little something different with it, as opposed to just making a exact
Like just a
parallel of it.
stamp.
Yeah. So,
Yeah.
and And of course, having a 101, like I've been hearing it for years, like 101s and 101 blacks and super fractors and stuff. And we just didn't have that 101 with our flagship product that I felt that we needed. So if you're gonna do a 101, you don't like, I love the high gloss cards. They're beautiful cards, the spectrum
Beautiful.
foil, the thick UV. I go, but if you're gonna do a 101, we gotta make it look special. And so that's what we did with the gold 101s is, you know, it's on the new technology. It's gold. It's right in your face. And then the deluxe, you know, I keep hearing people complain, well, I only got this many numbered cards and this many numbered cards. And it's kind of a way, and you see with our competitors, they have cards numbered to 199, 299, 399,
Like
499, 599. Like,
374,
you,
like just random
like,
numbering.
I didn't want to really lose the value of the if I numbered something to nine a Young Gun 999, it kind of ruins the value of it. But I felt 250 was a small enough number that, you know, you're still getting a really good card
Yeah.
and you're getting more, you know, there's people when they open up a box of Series One, like when I started working, I think you got two jersey cards. And those jersey cards you can go around shows and buy for like $1 to $2 a piece.
Yeah.
But when you open up a pack of cards, it's you still get that feel good. Like I got a jersey card. Might not be the best player or, you know, might be a great player, but it gives you that feel good, like I got something, because people consider jersey cards as hits. So as we've progressed, we've actually cut out jersey cards in our flagship. They were much more expensive to make than people think. And when you're seeing them in dollar boxes, I think we can get more value out of them in other products.
Yeah.
So I wanted more of those feel good hits. And so that's where the deluxe came in, is like, how can we add more feel good hits to a box of cards for the
I think you
consumer?
guys have transitioned wonderfully. Like, you know, from a company that didn't have a ton of parallels in their flagship to like where you guys are at now, like, I don't think the market's oversaturated. I think that you guys have added just the right amount of parallels for people who are excited about Bedard and plus. To have options and like, you know, a rainbow now, it takes a while. There's so many different
Oh,
parallels. Like,
yeah.
I think that's like so fun as like long term for a collector, right?
Yeah, and the pair, the what I like and what we've done is the parallels are different. When I say different, I mean like different substrates. So yes, you still have the exclusives and the high glosses. We added the deluxe. That's all on your regular cardstock paper.
Yep.
We've got the clear cuts, which is on acetate. We've got the outburst, which is on a patterned foil board, and then we have like our e-pack stacking achievements. That's funny. That's the reason why the clear cuts actually came, is because we created e-pack in 2016, and we had a stacking parallel, and the shops are like, wait, we didn't get anything cool. So we're like, you're right. You know, we listened to our shops and like, now we're going to give you an exclusive, and we gave them the clear cut exclusive. So in some of the parallels are even exclusive to different SKUs that we have,
Different
whether it's
mediums.
EPAC. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
Speaking of parallels and one of ones, are you surprised that the one of one Bedard still has yet to be pulled?
Yes and no. You know, we did buybacks a number of years ago, and the first year that we did it, and we put a Crosby rookie auto patch cup in it, and it took like 9 months. I think some kid opened it up on Christmas from like a Christmas gift to his dad, and he was a
Wow.
Pittsburgh fan, which made it awesome. But it took like 9 months to find it. The one thing I'll say about that set is, like, when you would go to a card show, like we go to the Fall Expo and the Spring Expo, and there's really where I'm being able to see, you know, Series One and Series Two broken a lot. I love going to those shows because I build the sets, and then, you know, we have our priority packs and box breaks incentives. So when you're watching and people are building or buying stuff, you know, a box is worth a certain price, and they're able to buy two, three, a case or whatever.
Yeah.
But because of the Bedard hype, the prices of the boxes went up. Well, people only have a certain amount of money to spend, and I think like people are opening it, but I don't think they're opening up as much as they previously were. So if they were opening up boxes of Series 2 like they previously opened up boxes of Series 2 or Series 1, I think it'd be found by now. But I think a lot of people are sitting on that product. A lot of people are seeing what 1516 or 1617 Series 1 is selling for nowadays. And there's some investors in there. Like how many people that you saw back in the day were like, I got all these cases of 88 tops or 89 Fleer or whatever that we're sitting on it, thinking it's going to be worth a bunch. Well, sometimes it is and sometimes it's not, but I just think a lot of people are sitting on it, and my guess would be it could potentially be in one of those boxes that someone's sitting on. So open up those boxes you're sitting on. No,
Yeah.
just
It's funny. When there was the initial like bounty that was disclosed, I made like a bold prediction saying that I just don't think that it's going to be found anytime soon because I thought people were sitting just based on like all the people I was talking to who had pre-orders were stacking like cases
exactly.
in their basements, in their
Yep.
garages. They're like, I'm not opening this stuff ever. And just the fact that all these people were avid hockey collectors and they might have bought a like a case but stashed three. And I'm like,
Yep.
if all of the people I know who are like big hockey collectors who would typically be ripping, if they're doing this, then like I just don't think there's enough product out there. And it sounds crazy, but that's just, I think a lot of this is stashed. And there's nothing wrong with that, because like, I mean, you can do whatever the hell you want with your product, but it's just like a very interesting thing to kind of like watch transpire as like such a big card. Luckily, not in a redemption form. So like this card could get opened up 25 years from now,
Yep.
and the one of one gets fi like finally pulled. You know what I
Ho
mean?
hopefully, hopefully, Dave Adams is still around in 25 years.
Well,
I think they will be, but
hopefully Connor Bedard is just like becomes what he's supposed to be, and it could even potentially be more than $1 million. You know what I mean?
oh
Like,
yeah, for sure.
so it's a really
It'll
cool
be like
thing
an
to.
insult to somebody. And $1 million? Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
A five
exactly.
million dollar card.
Exactly. Well, I mean, like, if you were to offer someone $1 million for the Steph Curry one of one super fractor, like, I don't know, it'd be tough. And that's another card that's been sitting for, and no one has any idea where the heck that is, like 15 years later, 16 years later. So it's gonna make things interesting later.
I was hoping someone would like rip a box at the expo or something and you get to see it. Like that's one of the things is like when you see what people open or rip. I remember like someone opened up a box of a case of the cup, and I convinced he's like, should I get another one? I'm like, well, or maybe it was a tin. He's like, should I get another one? I'm like, well, I don't think you've gotten like the big hit yet. And he's like, okay. He goes and buys another one, and then he pulls a ticket stub, the inscribed ones from back in the day, and it was McDavid's first game, and or first goal. And I was just like, I'm so glad I told him to buy it because now I look like a genius. But it's just fun to see the people ripping the cards and getting those big hits.
Let's move on to the cup. I'm excited. I think that, ironically enough, again, you guys are a bit behind when it comes to the cup release. The fact that you guys took as long as you did to get this thing out, I think actually works in the market's favor, because now we've started to see guys like Wyatt Johnson pan out. We've started
Yep.
to see guys like Juraj, just sign a massive extension. Quinton Byfield's in the previous one, right? Am I wrong? Yes. Shane Wright just had a good preseason. Like, you might actually start to see these guys come into form. Versus if they were out right away, I mean, obviously we'd have those big chases initially, but no one really knew Wyatt Johnson was going to be as good as he is. No one really, I mean, there was a lot of people that were very down on Juraj up until last season when he went on that massive point streak as like a 19-year-old, and now all of a sudden, signed that extension. I think it's just been really interesting to watch how that also worked in your in like Upper Deck's favor unintentionally.
Hey, you know what? All those people that sit there and talk about how late it is. I'll put this into perspective for them so they feel a little better. We finally a week ago got our employee PMGs that has that rookie class. So our employee cards came after the cup came out. So that's not that it's that big of a deal, but
Billy, I feel much
no.
better that you have a
Yeah,
PhD
see,
of
right?
Yuri
No.
Slavkovsky.
And yeah, I think it was a 9 month 9 months since the previous year. So we're catching up. But what you said is true, and it's it worked out in our favor this time. You know, it was kind of scary because honestly, like Beniers didn't have the greatest year. I thought Boldy had a really good year that's being overlooked by a lot of collectors. But like you said, there's some names like Clark's in there that I don't know if many people would have known about him.
I'm actually pissed off it took as long as it did because of Clark, by the way. So I really appreciate you guys for that one.
Sorry about that.
I was like, just please, please, before people find out.
And you know what's funny is like Wyatt, you're talking about Wyatt Johnson, and we print the rookie cards in waves. And I've explained this on many shows where Austin Matthews' rookie year, we didn't have his cards until literally pack out. Like they came, we started packing out on Monday. They came on Tuesday. So we're like hand spiking these things into the blends and everything because obviously we want them in there, but we didn't know if we were going to have Matthews for that, like live.
But that was like a
So
short turnaround between the draft, right?
it was definitely easier. But we're just like, well, we printed all the rookies together. And we said, you know what? What we're going to do is we're going to print like the top guys so we have more time for them to sign because they're signing throughout the year. And these cards take a little bit more time to print. So he might have already signed a 1,000 or 999, future watch cards and is just like, okay, I'm tired of signing for a little bit. And then we might not get another signing for a while. So, and we're like, we're waiting on those cards, waiting on those cards. So we decided to start printing like who we feel are going to be the 99s ahead of time with the holdover rookies so we can get a head start. And then we have another form that has 50 more rookies. And then we figure out from there. And initially Wyatt Johnson was a 249 and he was on that second form. And we did it with Robertson previously because he had it was the same situation. And we put him 249 and we're like we just it was frustrating having like that dude should be a case hit, but at a 249 he's really not a case hit. So we didn't want to do that with Wyatt Johnson. We're like this guy deserves to be a case hit type card. So that's why we had 799s, which I don't think we've done before. We did something in Eichel's year where it was, 699s, and then Eichel was a 99, but it was a patch only. But we usually only have six, and this year we did seven of them. But yeah, it was, a lot of these guys definitely start stepping it up at the end of the season, and it definitely when I would like I'm one of the guys that they fly out to our place and hand pack it and sit there. And it definitely felt a lot better packing it out than probably it would have 6 months ago.
I couldn't agree more. Like even when I was talking about the cup, just like watching those guys actually play out last season, and I'm like, I feel like if I was having this conversation with people 6 months ago, and they're like, "Oh, who should you chase?" I'm like, "Owen Power." Like, obviously Wyatt Johnson was he had a great playoff series the year before, and like a pretty good season, but like first year, who knows? So like, I'm thrilled by it. Again, I think you guys did really well on the design this year. Talk to me about like that lucky seven. So for those of you who haven't seen it yet, Upper Deck posted a video, man, probably like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago when the cup initially was to be released, that they made one tin with all seven of the out of 99 rookies that we just talked about. In that tin, each one of those cards is numbered 7 out of 99. So a very, very, very cool concept. One lucky collector is going to open that box and receive all of the top rookies. Well, there's other top rookies too, but some of the biggest rookies in that set, all numbered to 99, all serially numbered 7 out of 99. Where did that concept come from? And did you guys get a lot of flack for it? Like how?
So, We've seen our competitors do a lot of different things recently, and a lot of hype videos, a lot of getting people excited, which is great because anything that they're doing is just getting collectors excited, just about collecting cards. But I kind of felt like we needed to kind of do something too. That's one thing. Like people think there's no competition and stuff. No, there is competition. It's like I still want to make better cards than our competitors make, or I still want our company to do better than our competitors. So there's competition when people say, "Oh, monopoly or not monopolies," but like when you only have one exclusives ruin the
Exclusives.
market. No, I still think there's definitely competition, at least in my standpoint. And I have a advertising and marketing background. And so we're just kind of sitting there, and I was talking to one of our guys that kind of leads everything, like knows where all the cards are at the warehouse. And I was just like, "How many extra case hits do we have?" And when I say extra case hits, we can't, it's, we've never, I think the record 1 year they had one card left. And this is like 15, 20 years ago. Usually you have cards left because you have different blends, you have different like things coming from it. Maybe you have more because there's all these requirements. You have to have a rookie auto patch, you have to have another auto patch, you have to have autos. And you don't have the exact number because we're sending multiple cards. You don't know what's going to come in. So, and then like past years' products and stuff obviously comes in there. So he's like, "Well, we got this many." And I'm like, "Okay." And we've kind of hinted about doing something like this. Like there's always like weird people want to build weird tins. We built a tin a couple years ago where, and I was totally against it, and I give props to the guy who did it, but we used all the Letterman patches, and it spelled that you got six cards, and the six cards spelled the word the cup,
Yeah, I
like
remember
out of
that.
it.
I remember
And
that. Yeah.
I was like, "Ryan, why'd you do that?" And then he sent me the video. I was like,
The hobby
"Okay,
loved it.
I admit defeat on this one." I'm like, "You're right." So I'm like, "Well, why don't we do something where we put like, because we're not taking away cases. That's the one thing. That's the big misconception is those are cards that could have gone in. No, those are cards that would be going to our customer service for replacements or like stuff like that. They're not cards that would have gone out in the pack initially. So we had extras. So I'm just like, okay. And I'm not talking about the rookies. I'm just talking about case hits in general because they're all lumped into one. So like a McDavid autograph or Austin Matthews autograph. So I was just like, "Is there any way?" And we were like, "You can fit seven cards in a tin because we have like booklets that are thick as two cards." So I'm like, "We should try to do this." And then, something like this isn't just me saying, "I want to do this and put it together." No, that's so I called my boss to confirm the number of cards that we have extra. And then you kind of have to talk to our brand department. And we had a brand manager that went to pack out with us. And so he was there and it's like, okay. So he calls his boss and then it gets to it. It got all the way up to, our president. And he okayed it, and it's just like great. And then it's like, now what do we do? And then so we, and I'm like, we should get all the sevens. And so I had to go through all the cards and find every. There was a couple of us, but we found all the sevens. So it's like, okay, all sevens together. It's like, let's, if we're gonna do something really cool, let's just do it as good as we can do it. So we got the sevens, and then it's like, all right. Well, we're not just let's do like a video or photographs because I'm like I want the marketing team to use this. And so it actually was our brand manager that was with us and myself. Those are my hands in the white gloves.
The famous pair of hands now.
I joke that everybody probably could tell it was me because I was wearing an Adidas jacket and that's all I ever wear. I'm sitting there and we took like about 10, 15 different videos from different angles. Cause we called our marketing department and we're like, "What do you need?" And he's like, "Well, I want this. I want a video of this and this." So and so we got him all of that. And then I had to go through approvals and we were able to get it out. And like to do that, like on the spot and for our marketing team to step it up and get that out there. And I thought it was a real cool video. Like at first I was just like, God, like I almost wanted one of those Sunday, 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 kind of like all this stuff. And I guess that's not the upper deck way. And they made this video. It looks really cool. It's nice. It's not like in your face, but it definitely showed the what we wanted it to show. And so that's how it happened. just kind of like a quick idea, a bunch of people working together to make it happen, and the marketing team, putting in extra hours to get that done.
I think, like I said previously, the innovations that you guys are bringing and your ability to kind of like move into the 21st century when it comes to collectors and marketing and stuff of that nature. Like, I think I've definitely really started to take notice. We talked about it briefly before we even jumped on the podcast, but I'm mentioning it again now. And I think that for the vast majority of people who might be somewhat interested in hockey, I think this definitely leads to a lot more people getting introduced to hockey cards and to becoming hockey card collectors and to, like getting used to the hockey card market. Because the hockey card market has been wonderful. I mean, I've been a participant for, 20 plus years, but it's very niche. And so I think that all these innovations and stuff, they don't take away from the niche collectors. They just kind of bring new people in. And I think that's really kind of like all of our goals.
Yeah, we're definitely trying to do new things. And sometimes they succeed, sometimes they don't. I think the addition, and don't get me wrong, our design team's amazing and it's been amazing for years. I've worked with some of the best in the business. And then to have them and then to add someone like Jean McLeod from Arena Design on board, she's now heading up our design department, and to have her knowledge and that. Jean is just a ball of fun. She'll come to my desk with just new stuff and hey Billy, what do you think of this? And I just saw this, and she's always looking for new things. So we're thinking of ideas, and then Jean will come to talk to us, and then we'll work together. Like, how can we implement this in a card? And she's done a great job, and she's been on board with us for now like officially a year. She worked on a few sets with us for a couple years, but she's been with us for a year, and you're gonna start seeing a lot more stuff, that a lot more innovation, a lot more just really cool designs that because it takes a year for these cards to go from point A of conception to out and pack out. So I think it, like Metal Universe comes out in a year, and there's some cool stuff. It's funny. She's just like, like the Noise Boys cards. There's Noise Boys in Metal Universe, and I've never seen one not slapped. And she's like, those are just like flimsy. Like you can go like this with them. I'm like, are you serious? Like I feel like I didn't collect a basketball back in the day. I was other sports. And I'm like, really? She's like, yeah. And she brought one to our desk, and she's like, oh. I'm like, okay, well, I want to do it that way. Or when we did the pins cards, like I want all those little holes in the linchpins. I want all the little
Those
holes in
were
it,
really cool.
and stuff like that. And then I started playing around, like, hey, everybody likes chrome. Let's do dual chrome sided cards, because I haven't really. It's not that I invented it. Like there's been dual sided chromes, but I haven't seen them in a long time. Let's do dual sided chrome cards. Let's do dual sided rainbow foil cards. Just like, hey, they look really good on the back, on the front. Let's make the back look just as good as the front, because a lot of people have ignored backs of cards for years. So I want to give them something to look at both sides. Just there's a bunch of little things. They had the gravitational pull. I don't know if you saw those, where like stuff's move. Oh, look them up. They're really cool. Like you pull the thing and it looks like stuff's like the words moving in the
That's
background
pretty cool.
and everything. Yeah, we're trying new things, and then you do get the chemical compositions where I was trying to work with layering and stuff, and it just doesn't get executed, and it looks horrible. I don't want to say that, but it just didn't come out the way I intended. But that happens sometimes too. We can come up with cool designs, and sometimes the vendors can't necessarily accomplish what we're looking for, and then you need to pack stuff out, and that's what you get. But for the most part, I think we've done a good job of coming up with some new cool ideas.
I couldn't agree more, man. Talk to me about you said the one in a year, the Metal Universe is going to be crazy. How's the one coming out this week?
Metal Universe, I like it. Like it's so one thing with Metal Universe is like we started it, and I tried to build upon it, and I tried to, I didn't throw everything. I didn't make a Metal Universe retro. The first year I built it, I made Metal Universe, and I wanted to save some things for year after year. And it was about a 3 to 5 year plan on a number of different inserts. And so, A lot of those inserts are have been used, like we've used them now. Well, it's such an iconic design or iconic set, and like everyone will always think, oh, you know, Arena made all these designs. And as I said, we have some really good designers here also. And so I wanted to give our designers their opportunity to put a spin on some of these classic inserts. And the fact that they are able to do that and have Gene looking over them to kind of help out if they have any questions and that sort of thing. A lot of cool new stuff. And then I also wanted, Grant and I had a discussion about this where I think people are kind of sleeping. Like there's a lot of old inserts that at COVID all of a sudden people started paying attention to and started gaining value again. And I think the last couple years of hockey cards, there's a lot of inserts that people, I don't want to say have ignored, but you know, something like the Metallics cards, and people call them Metal X. That's just me being too cute with an insert name. And you know, people, I've been outvoted by what people call it. Like everyone calls them Metal X, and I'm like, they're Metallics, like metallic metal. But I lose that battle, even though I came up with the insert
You
name. I
came up
lose the
with
battle. I
it.
lose the battle every time. There's an insert in series one. It's called Aligns. Like it'll everything aligns, you know. But it's like the A line. But everyone calls it A lines because we were showing a line, a hockey line. And I was like, again, being clever, I guarantee you, everybody calls it A lines instead of
A hundred
Aligns.
percent.
But those are like there's 100 of them. And they're one per case. That means you need to buy 100 cases to get the Connor McDavid Metallics card. And when I see the value of some of those, it just seem they seem really low. Same with doubloons in Allure. Like there's 100 of them, and they're one per case. Again, that means you have to buy 100 cases to get this one card. And the doubloons have been doing better than the Metallics cards, but there's a lot of other inserts that, you know, I've made like maybe one in 120 or one in 200 or one in 80 and stuff, and they're just they're not getting the love of cards that are named after foil book designs. You know, like, oh, let's just come up with a card called Kaboom. Oh, wait, the paper's called Kaboom.
Really?
Oh yeah, 100%. The insert names are named after the paper that they're printed on by some people.
That's wild.
But that they come one per case. And you know, we have a lot of inserts that are much rarer than one per case, but might not have the hype or the influencers behind it. So that's why I'm here today, is I'm
It's very
hiring you to
interesting,
be our hype man and
actually.
influencer for all of our hockey inserts, because there's a lot of cool ones and a lot of rare cool ones
I
that
mean, I'm
just
about to go on eBay and scoop a bunch of
yeah, like we brought back Z-Force, which
Yeah, I
was
saw
cool,
that.
and we have all the different colors and different designs. But then there's some, like I said, there's just the goose eggs, which is kind of cool. I know Gene designed that one with it's a die cut and it has all the zeros. It's there's kind of a play because there's a gold version because I wanted there to be a golden goose,
Golden goose.
golden goose parallel. One of the things I love in the metal universe is we took the 1990 basketball design and we made metal cards of those. So you know, like that bronze border with like the color background, like the almost like looked like painted color background stuff. Those are going to be like those are one a case, and maybe even rarer than, let me do the math, they're about one a case. But real vintage design but on a different substrate, I think those will be really big hits. I love the I call them the Marvel PMGs and the Marvel like designs, where I've paid an artist to create like comic book
Like
versions of the characters,
like more cartoony.
and then we use the 2013 Skybox, you know, design. So it's the when I say Skybox, I mean like the Marvel design, not like a hockey design. And those came out great. I just saw some of the new art for the the 25 or the 24-25 set, and it
And this
looks
guy is
amazing too.
smiling ear to ear
But
right now.
oh yeah, there's I'll give one away because it's the one I'm going to be collecting. There's a they did Lucas Raymond will be in the set, and
Ooh.
there it's it there's a car, and it almost looks like freaking Dukes of Hazzard, like
Oh,
jumping
no
over
way.
him. Oh
That's
yeah,
really
it's like
cool.
this red car, and I'm like, that's so cool.
I love that.
So yeah,
I mean,
there's just a bunch of
speaking
cool
of
stuff.
cool inserts,
Yes.
we got a friend that happened to get a really cool insert in this upcoming series one. I can't believe we kind of glazed over that, but Luke the Cardist, and for
Yes.
those of you guys who don't know, he does tons of card art, incredible looking stuff. He's been around for quite some time. Very renowned. He has managed to get some cards in this upcoming Upper Deck Series 1 release and Series 2, and he has been charged with the task of redoing some of the most iconic Young Guns
Yep.
out there. Do you want to talk a little
Yeah.
bit about how that came about?
I'd love to. You know, I talked to I ran into Luke at the Mint Collective, and what they people might not know, he's a huge wrestling fan. And
Huge,
so
massive.
we spent half the time talking about AEW wrestling. And I loved his energy. I love he real positive guy, and his wife was there too, and I think their child was with him, but it was just such a great family, such a great, and I talked to him about stuff, and I was like, man, if we can find a way to work together, I'd love to. And time went by, and I built a lot of the wrestling sets, but I wasn't building like the ones that I would want him to work on, like either I wasn't building anymore or they were already done. Like it just happened at the wrong time. It's like stuff was already done. And so I was just like, well, let's do something different. I go, let's, you know, take what if we, because you know what, for those of you who don't know, he takes regular cards or even really important cards, because I know
Yeah.
he's done, and he'll put
He's done
artwork
like
behind.
a Trout update, I think, you know, like,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yep. He'll take the cards and put his artwork behind it. So it's still like the picture. He still might have some of the frame of the design and stuff, but he adds his art to it. And I'm like, well, let's do something with like the all the 100 best young guns that we've ever, you know, the greatest young guns that we've done. And so that we still have the image rights and everything too also, because if you go back farther, some of those guys we don't have the rights to. So you'll be like, where's this guy? It's like,
Yeah.
well, we don't have their rights anymore, unfortunately. So let's do that. And we worked with him. I gave him a call, and he was all excited about it. He's done cards for other companies, but more like one-on-ones,
Yeah.
more like they actually does almost like sketch cards, but not sketch cards, if or painted cards.
Yeah.
I go, I want to do this. I want to get you out there. And well, not that he wasn't already, but I
Yeah.
want to put him on a bigger platform. And so we talked about, I remember at the I was at the airport flying back from Michigan, and we're just sitting there on the phone, like kind of discussing what we could do. And we came up with that. And he's been great. Like he's there's a lot of little like he can't just draw what he wants to draw. There's a lot of you know, league rules and player rule, like just stuff that you have to pay attention to. But I think he's done a great job. I've seen a lot of the stuff. He just kept sending me pictures. I'm like, let me see this. He's like, oh, I got the Crosby done. Sending me pictures of the Crosby. Send me pictures of the OV. And
So
I'm
there's
just
going to
like,
be
oh, these are
100
great.
Young Guns.
So there's 50, and then we cut it off. And I believe it was like around McDavid's rookie year. We cut it off. I think right before that. And then there'll be 50 more in series two.
Beautiful.
So he's done 100 cards for us, and we're really excited about it. A lot of people will be like, man, these should have been rare hits. And I understand the thinking behind that, that like, oh, well, they're so cool. If you would have made them rare hits, they probably would be worth more. Well, there are rare hit versions of them. There's exclusive versions and high gloss versions of them. And I did that on purpose because I did want the high hit potential of these cards, but man, I just wanted to get those cards out for people to
Yeah,
see,
you
as
just
many
wanted
people to
people
see as
to
possible.
appreciate them. I mean, we just
Yeah.
finished talking about how people aren't really appreciating some of the case hits because, I mean, almost you're just not seeing them frequently enough. And
Yeah.
so you kind of didn't want that to happen with with Luke's cards.
No, if we're paying him the $5,000 per art, no, I'm just joking. No, but if you know, we're paying this guy to do something that we want to be seen. And that's why we hired someone as talented as him for it to be seen, not to, throw like 10 cards in there and that be it. Like the other stuff that he's done, I can't even find it. Like I
Yeah,
can't
me
see it or
neither.
find it anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably real valuable, but I can't see it. So I want this guy to be seen. I want, like I said, he's the type of ambassador that you want representing your manufacturer, your card show, your whatever he's a part of. That's the type of person that you want.
I love that, man. That's a
Yeah.
thanks for sharing such a wonderful story. And brother, thank you for taking the time to talk shop when it comes to hockey. Really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Hey, you talked about the Bedard 101 in his Young Gun. There's another one coming out on well, it's probably already out by the time this airs, but the gold PMG. There's going to be, a Bedard gold PMG, I'm sure. I'm surprised I haven't heard any rumblings yet of people throwing out a bounty for that one,
I'm
but
surprised too, actually.
maybe we need to throw a few more pictures of it out there so people
Haven't seen it
remember
yet.
about it. Yeah, so there'll be a gold PMG of Bedard, which I'm sure
Feel
will be a
like
big
an
deal too.
email should be coming my way soon, Billy.
Right? The checklist is out there.
Appreciate you. Billy, I really appreciate you taking the time. Team, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of the Cardboard Coach and you got to familiarize yourself a little bit more with Billy and all the wonderful stuff he's working on over there at Upper Deck. Thanks for taking the time. Coach Go and Billy Celio are out of here. Peace.